What can you do when your friends get sick of you prying into their problems?
Do what everyone else is doing, of course. Start a podcast.
Introducing If I Speak, a brand new podcast from me, Ash Sarkar.
And me, Moya Lothi McLean, where we pitch each other our big theories about the universe, share the intrusive thoughts keeping us up at night, and best of all, tackle your personal dilemmas.
We'll be asking questions like, does tabloid gossip turn us all into conspiracy theorists?
Should you financially support a parent?
Is Moya turning into a bit of a femcel?
Yes. What's Ash's most toxic trait?
Interrupting. From dating disorders to family feuds, career dilemmas to online etiquette,
the political gets personal on If I Speak.
Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's gossip elevated.
Welcome to the Intelligence Square podcast. I'm producer Catherine Hughes. Today we're bringing you part one of our live event, Bach versus Beethoven. This event was hosted by the BBC's Rita Chakrabarty, who was joined by world-renowned cellist Stephen Isserlis for Bach and acclaimed music critic Norman Lebrecht for Beethoven. Mishka Rushdie-Momen accompanies this conversation on the piano. Part two and three of this event are available ad-free for subscribers now. And for our listeners who don't subscribe, part two will be available in our next episode. This event took place in April 2023 in Cadogan Hall, London.
Thank you very much and good evening, everyone. It's wonderful to see such a great turnout for what promises to be a lively, entertaining, informative, and I'm sure inspiring event. And thank you too for being willing to participate in this perfectly preposterous notion that you can choose between Beethoven and Bach. There is nothing rational about this. We happily admit that. We ask you to just suspend reason and go with emotion. Just go with it and listen to the arguments. Imagine yourselves on a desert island, perhaps, that there you are for 2 months. You're stuck with one composer. Who would you listen to? I, of course, have my own feelings, but as a BBC lifer, you'll understand that I will remain completely impartial. To help you decide between the two composers, we have two very eloquent and highly competitive speakers. Before I introduce them, though, I'm going to ask you to submit your pre-vote to get a sense of where you stand right now. So, please do now vote for either Bach or Beethoven using the QR code coming up on the screen. If you're unsure, vote undecided. So Bach, Beethoven, or undecided. I'll announce those pre-vote results shortly. While you're doing that, let me introduce our speakers. Probably don't need any introduction, but I'll do it anyway. Stephen Isserlis, world-renowned cellist, author, and broadcaster. He has a multifaceted career as a soloist, a chamber musician, and educator. He appears regularly with the world's leading orchestras and works with many living composers. And his latest book is The Bach Cello Suites, A Companion. On my left is Norman Lebrecht, historian, cultural commentator, broadcaster, and award-winning novelist, who has written 12 books about music. His blog, Slipdisc, is the world's most popular cultural news site, drawing 2 million readers every month. And his new book is Why Beethoven, a Phenomenon in 100 Pieces. Norman will be making the case for Ludwig van Beethoven. Stephen will be making the case for J.S. Bach. But of course, we need more than just the arguments to get a sense of the real powers of these two musical giants. We actually need to hear the music itself, of course. So it's a huge pleasure to also welcome Mishka Rushdie-Momen. She is an acclaimed concert pianist who appears in recitals and concerto performances worldwide. Her musical partners have included one Stephen Isserlis, with whom she recorded 4 recitals at the Wigmore Hall during the COVID-19 lockdown. She's also played with Joshua Bell, Anthony Marwood, Midori, and members of the Endelian, Balcea, Orion, and Artemis string quartets. And Mishka will be accompanying Stephen when he advocates for Bach and also playing Beethoven for Norman. So, just before we hear the results of that first vote, can I ask you both, Stephen, what was the moment at which you thought, it's Bach?
I don't know. Oh. It's always been Bach, really, but hang on, I have to say, I'm slightly uncomfortable being in the position of being supposed to be versus Beethoven. I worship Beethoven, I adore Beethoven, but I also worship Bach and I adore Bach. And I'm not going against Beethoven, I'm just seizing an opportunity to extol the genius of Bach. And I suppose if I had to sum them up in sound bites, for me, Bach is God and Beethoven is the finest, noblest human spirit ever. So, which doesn't answer your question, does it? I don't know. Maybe when I played the first piece, when I was a little boy, I used to go to sleep to the sound of my father practicing Bach's Chaconne downstairs. So maybe it was then.
Okay. Norman.
I don't know when it begins with Beethoven. Again, probably all of my life. I mean, I'm not here to bury Bach. I'm here to reappraise him in light of Beethoven, without whom music would not have gone forward. Beethoven was probably most important to me with the descent of COVID, with our isolation, and with a sense, I'd started writing the book about 3 months beforehand, with a sense of empathy that I got in my own isolation with Beethoven's state of not being able to communicate through deafness. And one felt there was no other composer I wanted to live with, no other composer who could speak so intently to that moment. So yes, I mean, Beethoven, it has to be Beethoven.
What is it that Beethoven does to you? Because music is so emotional.
There is the emotion, there is the intellect, there is the ambition, there is the sense of forward propulsion. He never looks back.
Right. Stephen, with Bach?
I think Bach has everything. I mean, he's, as I said, he's like a god. He's perfect. He's sublime. But he's also so human. He understands every human emotion. And for me, also lockdown, I spent some time listening to the late Beethoven quartets, which was revelatory, but I also heard, and I'm ashamed to say it was for the first time, but I'd sort of been keeping it as a treat, Bach's Mass in B minor. Oh my God, it's so overwhelming. I mean, yes, there's never a rough edge in a way, although there can be anger and violence, but it's all within a sublime perfection. But it's so touching. He understands every human emotion, like Shakespeare does, I suppose. And he can express it, and it was so comforting to listen to his music during lockdown and many, many other times. He's a god who really cares about us.
So interesting. You both mentioned lockdown and how important these composers were to you. We'll hear more about have to say in just a moment. I just want to announce the first vote results. You are a very split audience. We have 45% for Bach, 42% for Beethoven, and 13% undecided. So as all politicos know, it's the 13% that you have to play for. All right, gentlemen. Stephen, can I ask you to please make the case for J.S. Bach?
Okay, but I'm going to do it. I'm like Linus in his security blanket. I'm not happy unless I have a cello in my hand. since I do have a cello in my hand, Bach can speak for himself much better than I can speak for him. So I thought I'd start by playing the prelude of the first suite for cello. Thank you.
Sponsoring the show for this episode is Marquee TV. Marquee TV is a streaming service with a difference. It's bringing you the top tier of performing arts straight into your living room or onto your device. So think dance, theatre, music, anything you might find in the West End, Broadway, or maybe a cool little experimental space too, but saving you the cost of a few tickets as well. I've got happily a bit lost in their vast library of performances, exclusive interviews, and behind-the-scenes content. Choreographer Jonathan Watkins' interpretation of George Orwell's classic 1984 was pretty cool, and I love the dance piece Sutra, inspired by the skills of Buddhist Shaolin monks. And we've got a special treat for our listeners. Marquee TV offers 3 months of access for just 99 cents. That's right, 3 months for only 99 cents with the code squared. Simply visit marquee.tv and use the promo code squared to dive into the world of arts like never before. Bring the arts home with Marquee TV. We make a lot of stuff here at Intelligence Squared. So many great chats to enrich the mind, like the one you're listening to now. But like any business, it's really essential to be in good shape and keep things efficient, so you can see the big picture all in one place. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems, and it's super easy to get started because NetSuite exists in the cloud, so no hardware needed, cutting your IT costs too. And you'll also improve efficiency by bringing all your major processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. That's why over 37,000 companies have already made the move. The cost of living crisis might not be making anything any cheaper, but there's real value in feeling on top of things, which is something I experience firsthand as an event producer every day. And now, by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/squared. That's netsuite.com/squared. netsuite.com/squared. Intelligence Squared is a tight-knit team doing big things, and it means we're always looking for tools that can help streamline managing tasks. That's why I want to talk to you for a minute about NetSuite. NetSuite provides cloud-based software to get things moving. Maybe your business has been humming, but you can feel things are falling behind a little bit. Or perhaps your team is getting snowed with manual tasks and closing those books is taking forever. If this sounds like you, you should know these three numbers: 37,000, 25, 1. 37,000, that's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. 25, NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, allowing them to close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. And one, because your business is one of a kind, so you get a customized solution for all of your KPIs in one efficient system with one source of truth. It means you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. It's everything you need to grow all in one place. NetSuite is now making an unprecedented offer to make more of that kind of thing possible. Right now, you can download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance absolutely free at netsuite.com/squared. That's netsuite.com/squared to get your own KPI checklist. netsuite.com/squared.
There were some solo cello pieces written before that in Italy, but Bach could not possibly have known them. As for all intensive purposes, Bach was creating a genre there. And he just understands the cello perfectly. And that goes for every instrument, and of course the voice, the organ his instrument, the violin his instrument, the viola his instrument, the clavichord his instrument, etc. He just understands everything, but understanding an instrument is one thing. But the spirit, I think the radiance that comes through his music, that prelude, it starts off the six suites, it starts off basically the history of solo cello music. But it's also, I find it so comforting somehow. It's just so warm, and it's just such love shining through it, I suppose. But it's also got the perfection that we associate with Bach, and it's perfection that makes him so important in music history that every major composer, basically, had to pay homage to Bach. He influenced them because he brought music to a higher pitch, not literally a higher pitch of perfection. I suppose the danger is that people sort of look at his picture with a wig and looking quite stern, and they think, oh yes, he's mathematically brilliant, you know, but he's not one of us. But he absolutely is. And the man had many children, and you can hear it in his music. You can hear the joy. I mean, there's so much joy in his music and so much humor, maybe not laugh out loud humor necessarily, but humor that just makes you feel good, makes you feel he's having a good time, or maybe he's God watching his children having a good time. There is that sort of joy and warmth in his music. And that's why I've chosen just one movement from his first Gamba Sonata. Of course, it would have been Gamba and harpsichord, but viola da gamba and harpsichord. But today it's cello and piano. And it's the last one. You know, it's one of reams of such pieces. But every one you get to know, you fall in love with, because there's so much information there in every note. And just as his first biographer said, he could make a fugue seem as simple as a minuet. And that's really, and that's why Beethoven called him the immortal Jove of harmony. Quite right. Anyway, so we're playing. Oh, God, I've got to keep an eye on the time. When did I start? Okay, it's going to be 13 minutes. Okay, last minute of the first Gamba Sonata. That's Bach in a good mood, which he very often is. And don't think he was some distant academic. He got into a sword fight with a bassoonist because he told the bassoonist he sounded like a nanny goat. And he got put in prison for other things. He also got into trouble for making music with a young lady in the organ loft. He was a lad, Bach. He was full of fire and temperament. And apparently when he conducted, they said it was like he had rhythm in every part of his body. But of course, there is another side besides the joy, besides the fire and the excitement. There's also this incredible profundity. And I thought I would play you, without repeats, probably. No, I think I might have time for the repeats. The Saraband from the Fifth Suite. Now, this is, for me, the whole suite is the passion story for cello. And for me, this is the moment of the crucifixion where Christ is abandoned on the cross. But it doesn't matter whether you think that or not. It's such a portrait of loneliness. One of the high points of music for me is Ebarmadyk in the St. Matthew Passion, where Simon Peter realizes that the cock has crowed three times and he has denied Christ. And the aria that follows just sums up everything that we feel in moments, you know, when we feel remorse, when we feel grief. It's everything. And this too, this Saraband for me sums up loneliness and anguish. But it's not depressing. It's never depressing because there's a radiance to it that it sublimates suffering through beauty.
Thank you.
If you think about that piece, it also gives you into a glimpse of why Bach was such an influence. Because to say why it is so moving is impossible. There's no tune, there's no rhythmic interest, there are no chords. It's a miracle, I think, that piece. It's just the depth of emotion he can convey through just a few notes. And that is a huge influence even today on music. So I better finish. And I'm sorry, it's slightly sort of weighted on the slow pieces of Bach. And of course, as I said, like pieces like the Brandenburg Concertos are just thrilling and exciting and full of verve and life. And of course, the Beatles used Brandenburgs, quoted the Brandenburgs, for instance, because of just that rhythmic energy. You know, it's funny to think that Bach influenced the Beatles, but he definitely did. We'd like to finish with a chorale prelude. And again, Bach, in a few notes, he tells us he understands us. He makes our life better by talking to us in the voice of God.
Yes, of course. Stephen is saying he's just going to put his cello away. He will be back. Thanks to him for some very persuasive arguments and some absolutely stunning playing. With Mischka as well, I don't know about you, I feel a bit breathless listening to that. Norman has a hard act to follow. But the stage is yours.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Intelligence Squared. Part 2 of this event will be available as our next episode. Subscribers can access all 3 episodes now. This event was produced by executive producer Hannah Kay. We'd love to hear your feedback and what you think we should talk about next, who we should have on, and what our future debates should be. Send us an email or a voice note with your thoughts to podcasts@intelligencesquared.com or on Twitter @intelligence2. And if you'd like to hear more, attend some of our excellent events, or peruse over 20 years of our back catalogue featuring some of the world's greatest minds, then head over to intelligencesquared.com.